Good morning. Being therefore justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have had our access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Romans 5:1-2. Bible passages overflow with the inspired information worthy of careful examination. Unfortunately, all too often the holy words are treated superficially. It is a tragedy of no small magnitude that this lovely citation is so seriously misunderstood in the religious world. It should be noted first that the text is prefaced with the conjunction therefore, the design of which is to draw a logical conclusion from previously stated premises. Though we cannot develop the entire preceding context in this brief lesson, we must note two important facts set forth in the final verse of chapter 4. Christ was delivered up for our trespasses and was raised for our justification. These compound phrases set forth two great acts in the divine plan of human redemption. First of all, Christ was delivered up to death, Acts 2:23, for our trespasses. A trespass is an infraction of divine law, an action against either God or man. The human family has been ruined by sin, Romans 5:12, and there is no remedy for such apart from Christ. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Then secondly, Jesus was raised for our justification. Both the death of Christ and his subsequent resurrection were key elements in the sacred plan of redemption enacted for humanity's salvation. From this foundation springs the important passage cited above. The noun justification is found 92 times in the New Testament, 58 times in Paul's letters, while the verb justify occurs 39 times, 27 times in Paul's writings. Justification is the legal standing that results from the process of being justified. To say that one is justified from sin is not to claim that he is innocent from the crime, far from it. Rather, the term suggests that the offender has been exempted from the penalty he justly deserves. The death sentence has been set aside, consistent with the righteous judge's system of justice. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 5:12 and Romans 6:23. In the case of the sin guilt of a rebellious people, which all accountable souls have been, Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, verse 23. Both the problem and the solution are set forth in Romans 3. The issue is this: how may God be just and yet justify sinners? Romans 3:26. The answer is found in the gift of Christ. God set forth his Son to be the propitiation and offering of atonement, a covering for sin. Hebrews 9:14-15. The sinless Lamb of God takes the penalty for the sinful individual who submits to the conditions imposed by the judge, God. Isaiah 53:4-6. Paul affirms that these beloved of God, saints, in the city of Rome have been justified, a past tense act with an abiding result. Practically speaking, justification is the equivalent of forgiveness, as well as the in Christ relationship, Romans 6:3-4 and Galatians 3:27. The battleground on this passage and numerous others of similar importance is the meaning of by faith. The preposition ek has been variously translated as by in the King James and the American Standard, or through in the NIV. The term basically means out of, and it reveals the human side of the salvation equation. Out of a genuine faith flows submission to God in response to sacred instructions. Romans 10:17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The sinner's faith is essential to his justification. This affirmation, of course, negates the baseless theories of universal salvation and unconditional election. The major controversy, however, is over the meaning of faith. Is this merely the willingness of a sinner to accept the historical facts about Christ and the surrender of one's soul to trust the Lord for his salvation? This is a common perception, but is it accurate? Though this view gained the strong support of the early Protestant Reformation in its opposition to the Roman Catholic dogma of justification upon the basis of meritorious works, the theory has no support in the larger context of the Book of Romans, or, for that matter, elsewhere in the New Testament. In J. H. Thayer's discussion of the verb pistuo, believe, he supplements the idea of trust with that of obedience to Christ, and this is simply supported by the biblical text. Note the following facts. In his letter to the Romans and elsewhere, Paul never divorces faith from obedience. Valid faith is that which yields obedience, and obedience derives its origin from faith. Chapter 1, verse 5, and chapter 16, verse 26. This is such an established biblical principle that gospel obedience in the book of Acts is characterized as being obedient to the faith. Acts 6, verse 7. Faith detached from submission to God is simply viewed as non-faith, redemptively speaking. James 2, 24. In chapter 6, Paul aligns himself with the Christians in Rome and characterizes all as we who died to sin, verse 2. Later, the apostle complements the earlier affirmation by this supplementary phrase, if he who has died is justified, verse 7. If, therefore, one learns what transpired between verses 2 and 7, he will know precisely how justification was effected. Paul's explanation is clear. He contends that dying to sin essentially is a resolution to no longer live the unrestrained life of sin, verse 2. The one who dies to the love and reckless practice of sin will submit to being buried in baptism, just as Christ was buried following his death. Moreover, as Jesus was raised, so it is the case that when one emerges from immersion, he enjoys newness of life, verse 4. Thus, justification from sin, verse 7. Later, in the same context, the apostle describes the process as being obedient from the heart, hence being delivered and made free from sin, verses 17 and 18. Since Paul uses the plural we to join himself with the Romans in terms of what each did in procuring justification, and inasmuch as we elsewhere learn that Saul's sins were washed away at the point of baptism, Acts 22:16, one must conclude that justification occurs at the point of immersion. This is a part of the broader process of being justified by faith. One has not the liberty, therefore, to isolate the initial act of belief or trust from the full complement of conditions that lead to the point of actual justification. For instance, repentance and confession of one's faith. Romans 2 verse 4 and Romans 10, 9 and 10. In chapter 10 of this book, the apostle discusses the problem of Jewish disbelief. What was at the core of that problem? They sought to make themselves right with God by adopting a mode of righteousness on their own, rather than submitting themselves to the righteousness of God. For instance, God's plan for constituting one as righteous. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Romans 10, 1-3. When one obeys the first principles of the gospel, he is accounted to be righteous. Dikaios. See Matthew 25, verse 37, which is equivalent to justified. Dikaio. Subsequently, in this chapter, the apostle quotes Scripture, Isaiah 28:16, to the effect that whosoever believes on him, Christ, shall not be put to shame, verse 11. This last phrase is the negative form of the positive terms saved or justified. He then references a parallel sentiment from Joel 2:32. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, verse 13. From the book of Acts, one learns that calling upon the name of the Lord in order to receive salvation occurs when one repents of sins and is immersed in the name of Christ, at which point he receives forgiveness of sins. Acts 2, verse 21 and verse 38. By way of contrast, what was the plight of many of the Jews? Tragically, they did not all obey the gospel. Chapter 10, verse 16. Thus believing, verse 11, and calling upon the name, verse 13, are the equivalents of obeying the gospel. Faith obeys. Clearly, a full consideration of all the facts leads the careful and honest student only to the conclusion that while being justified is by faith, the initial act of believing does not represent the total plan of justification. Faith is a guiding principle of obedience. It is, however, only the beginning of the process that leads to further obedience. Faith does not justify without that submission. Paul affirms that the goal of justification is peace with God. The phrase asserts by implication that those estranged from the Lord, steadfastly pursuing their own ambitions in life, are enemies of the Creator. They are at war with Him. The psalmist well described the attitude. Why do the nations rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel against Jehovah and against His anointed, saying, let us break their bonds asunder and cast away their cords from us. Psalm 2, verses 1 through 3. The arrogant will not submit to divine restraints. The Bible plainly describes some as enemies of God. It is clear enough that Satan is an enemy to God. Matthew 13, 25, 28, and 29. But so also are men who oppose the truth. Matthew 22, 44, Acts 13, 10, Romans 5, 10, and Philippians 3, 18. The war-peace relationship is at the very heart of the biblical doctrine of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 20 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation, to know that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God. In secular Greek, peace basically suggested the absence of war, together with a new environment of order and tranquility. But as one commentator noted, when one enters the realm of the Old Testament, it is as if he is entering a new world. Peace, shalom, some 250 times in the Old Testament, and eirene in the Septuagint, 92 times in the New Testament, signifies prosperity, well-being, health, completeness, and safety. In the sense of this passage, peace is a state of being, not a mere emotion, though emotion should naturally follow. Unfortunately, too many people have a deceptive emotional sense of peace, when actually they still are at war with God. And sadly, some have entered the state of justification seems to still be searching for peace of mind. I must close for now, but next week we will look at justification in connection with grace and hope. And until next week, may God bless and keep you.